Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Over.
Hello. And welcome to the very chatty Millwall Fan Show. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and Ted Robinson, Jeff Burnage and George Lampy of No One Likes Us Talking. Gents, transfers, and you've actually confirmed one.
I'll just say I wouldn't go that far. One transfer, I'm afraid, Johnny. Yeah. Good keeper, good championship keeper, without a doubt. I'm not sure whether the policy was they was going for the two of them, to be quite honest, because listening to the way Neil was talking about it, it seemed like they was after Frank Fielding as well. So I got the feeling that he wanted the two of them to battle for the number one spot. But what we've been hearing about the Bartowski stuff is the medical people basically put a block on it, and it wasn't worth the gamble, which I think you just have to go with what your medical staff are telling you. So
Fielding has of course signed instead with Bielkowski. What is it supposedly that's wrong?
It's his knee, we believe. I mean, you make a good point asking the question, Johnny, because if things go wrong in a medical, and I think we had this guy all done and dusted except for the medical, you have to ask yourself, and the guys can answer this, I suppose. Sorry, I'm taking over again, John.
No, please.
It's just that, do you feel that, and I do, that maybe the club should have told us a little bit more about what had gone on there? You know, I'm not saying the intimate details regarding the man, because that's his own personal, but, you know, we are the paying customers of the football club, and I think they owe us a little bit to just tell us that this deal's gone wrong, or it's not worked out, or, you know, I'm not saying all the details, but just some of it.
I'm just grateful that Mill don't make me have a medical before I come a fan. I wouldn't pass for sure.
Would it be just the knees?
No.
Even get in Harry's bar, would you?
No, I wouldn't. But on a serious note, sorry, Joe, I was just saying, I don't know how far down the line before they find this sort of thing out. Jeff probably knows more about how severe the medical is, in a sense, or when it takes place, whether it's the last sort of bit of the jigsaw that goes to a transfer.
I think it was the last part of the jigsaw, if I'm honest.
It seems to be, because we'd all heard it was
the
all
fee
done
and agreed, I should imagine, all wages and all that, and then we find out that he's back with Ipswich training. You know, I just think the supporters warrant just a little bit more information than they're getting.
You have to be careful, though, that you don't say something.
How did I know you were going to be very reasonable?
He's always reasonable.
You can't say something that's detrimental to that player's career. If you come out public and say, "Oh, his knee's shot," right?
No,
you are.
He's got one leg.
Yeah. You are damaging his prospects.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So you have to be a little bit careful what you say. I think Millwall gave out the right amount of information, personally. But I will say this. Nowadays, the medical side, they do have more power than they used to 20 years ago. For example, if you look at the concussion element, the doctor says he can't play. You know, you cannot play. There's been one or two famous examples, haven't there, where someone played on and the manager got in big trouble over it. I've known players that we've signed in my time fail a medical, and the decision's been taken. Well, like with Bielkowski, he'd played like for five seasons with hardly ever an injury. He can't have been on one leg, can he? So it used to be the case that you could take a view. The most striking one I can remember was David Livermore, where he failed his medical. It was an injury which 10 years later ended his career, I think. But it was manageable, and he managed it all that time. And the compromise that was done, it was one of John Dock's signings. The compromise that was done was Well, we'll sign him on loan, and if he shows no signs after a few months, then we'll make it a permanent transfer. That's what happened.
But there is players that walk around. I mean, Ledley King springs to my mind. He used to play for Tottenham. I mean, you listen to about Ledley King. He never trained because he had this sort of injury that
but
he managed.
He missed a lot of games as well.
He did, but they managed him all the way through it. I mean, he was a quality player. Don't get
it's
me
a
wrong,
great point, Ted. I mean, he wouldn't have passed the medical anywhere.
No.
That, you know,
he's a Tottenham legend because he didn't go anywhere. But nobody would have bought him.
What's a player?
The
by the way,
the point I'm making is that I think the club should just give you and not the personal details because, as you said, that could be. That could damage his career. But I just think the club should just come out and say, this deal is not going through. They don't have to give us too much information, but we heard absolutely nothing for quite a long amount of time.
Is there any possibility here, and I'd be interested to hear Jeff's take on this, is there any possibility that there's actually a bit of cloak and daggers going on where it's not a medical problem and what's actually happened is at the 11th hour his agent has said, that'll be another 500 grand, please. The club have kiboshed the deal and the easiest way of spinning it to us mugs is, oh, he failed the medical.
No, that's cloak and cloak, not and dagger. That hasn't happened, Johnny. That hasn't happened.
Does it ever happen?
I'm not
there's a wry smile there is. Jeff Burnage.
I've known it happen once, but what's gone on there? The reason there was a delay between him doing his medical, I think on a Wednesday, and us announcing it on the following Monday that it wasn't going ahead, was that what can have happened, and I'm totally speculating from experience, is that you go back to Ipswich and say, look, there's a doubt about this. Can we change the terms so that is a lesser amount down and it all gets paid, provided he plays all the games. And
I think what we actually did. That's
what,
wanted
that's
to
what
reduce
we heard. They
fight.
Wanted to reduce the feed.
And well, I would say this, and I hope I'm wrong, but that deal might not be dead. If Ted's right and he wanted to sign both of these goalkeepers, right, it is possible that Ipswich over the next week or so, because their owner needs money, it's possible they'll go, that deal you offered us, is that still on? You never know in football.
They could come back knocking on the door and say you can have him for 500 grand or something. Like if it was, I mean, we heard it was 900. As Jeff says, the transfer market to me, John, is just beginning to move. There's not been a lot going on.
Is that because Millwall have made a signing?
Well, we made two. We got a young lad today off from Wimbledon. But it's like a domino effect, isn't it? Once one goes, it all goes, if you know what I mean. And I think over the next week, which is, let's face it, we're only a month away from the start of the season, and they're all beginning to go back to training or at training. So these deals in the next couple of days or the next week or so, I think we're going to see a bit of a flood of it because not a lot's been happening, really.
And you've got the issue that contracts end on June the 30th.
Exactly,
That's the key point, isn't it?
If you can do your business early in the summer, it's wonderful.
Mm.
But it's getting harder and harder to do that, I think.
I can only think of one, and that's, well, I say one, Stoke announced in a week, didn't they?
Six.
Five. And then it was five, and then they got another one the day after, I think, like, which... It is fantastic for the football club if you can do that. But that's a rarity compared to what normally goes on.
Well, even those, they had to wait till
they was all,
basically
was
the
all,
28th of June.
Yeah, they
June
all through free agents.
And
you're right, Jeff, yeah.
Well, it's getting even more complex as well with some clubs where, for example, Arsenal have got a new kit deal kicking in with Adidas in a couple of weeks. And all the Arsenal fans are saying, listen, they probably made signings, but we're not going to announce players wearing a Puma kit. Because Adidas will complain. So there are so many different complex little layers to this. Millwall also being linked with players at the other end of the team. And we're hearing rumours that QPR's Matt Smith has turned us down. Why would he do a thing like that?
Well, if that's true, I mean, we've been led to believe that he's turned us down before. I don't know why. Matt Smith is a good footballer for what he does.
Which is be a battering ram.
He's a battering ram, he is. He's as I think we were saying last week, John, he's a terrific plan B.
Mm.
You know, if it's not going right for you and you want to stick balls in a box in the last 20 minutes because you're chasing a game or whatever, Matt Smith gets on the end of most things. If you look at QPR season last year, more often than not, when they won, it was a Matt Smith goal that dug him out of a corner or something.
You're spot on, but haven't Millwall already loaned their plan B out to Shrewsbury?
What?
Well, no, not really, actually. don't tell Pat, whatever you do.
He's too old, is he, Mark?
No, it might not be Matt that turned us down. I think it may well have been QPR. But the point is, we, as Ted said, we've been in for the fella twice, I think. This is the third time round. And if you start dating back, it must be quite a few years, Ted, that we've been chasing this fella.
I believe Ian Holloway went after him. I think he was the first one that tried to get hold of him.
So we're looking at about 4 years if you carry
a gap. No, it's not that long, blimey.
You was only a young lad when I started going after
him. The only thing I'm a little bit wary of, George, is that people say he's turned us down. It may well be that in them other occasions he had a better offer. Which is not actually turning you down. It's saying, well, I'm sorry, I've got a better offer here. I'm off, like, you know. So,
do you think he lacks the required characteristics to play for Millwall? Do you think he's a bit scared?
I think, you know, everyone knows, I think, the world of the manager. Mm. I love his values. I love how he goes about it. I love his straight talking. Players know where they stand with him. And if that lad doesn't want to play for Millwall with a burning ambition to play for Millwall, he won't end up signing him. We had one of those in January, didn't we, where we nearly signed a player on loan. Right, that's Neil's thing. And you mentioned Morrow. Neil's got a reputation in the game with players now that he's straight and doesn't stand in your way if you want to do something that makes a lot of sense. And that's what Morrow wanted to do. So, fair enough. But personally, I think we saw last season that his contribution was getting less at Championship level.
Yeah,
and
Neil
wanted to make a number of changes. He hasn't made as many as he wanted to yet, but by the time we kick off, he'll have made a few, I'm sure.
The other thing, Jeff, that Neil has stated, and we all know that, he talks big time, and I'm 100% with him on this, you have to be a certain character to be a player at Millwall. You know, it's as important to look at their character and what they are. You can see it with Alex Pearce. It oozes out of him.
Is it different to play for us than it is for another team?
You guys tend to tell me that it is, that it takes a certain kind of character to turn up and play for Millwall.
Otherwise, you ain't going to survive. We're harsh in the nicest possible way on our players. And we're expectant. We're expectant of a certain sort of performance. We're forgiving if a guy is putting 110% in but having a bad day. Up to a point, yeah. I mean, because at the end of the day, if a player's playing badly, he's playing badly, and there's not a fan in the world that would turn around and say, great, you know, he's playing bad, carry on.
No, I remember Teddy Sheringham saying that, you know, the Millwall crowd had you know, destroyed quite a few players who didn't have the metal to take it, so...
But there weren't many that went on and did it great elsewhere. Not many. And I think there is a particular type. I'm not saying we're 100% unique. No one's like us. But what you need is what Teddy had. You mentioned a great example there. If there are people in the crowd on his back, it made him play better. It didn't affect him the other way. And that's what I think we're talking about. So, yes, I think there is a certain type. And if they don't, if they're showing unwillingness to come or they're not desperately keen to come, I suspect with Jamal Lowe, he's keen enough to come to tell Portsmouth he wants to leave.
Yeah.
I don't see Matt Smith doing that.
I think that's a very good point.
I could be wrong.
Interesting to hear what you say about Sheringham. He, so far, is by some distance the hardest interview of my career.
Is he really?
Nice guy, but quite difficult to get things out of him if you sound like me. We did
warn him.
What is that? What do you sound like?
I couldn't possibly comment, George. A quick note that Millwall fan Roland Stepney will be undertaking Prostate Cancer UK's March for Men this summer, and he's asking Lions fans for their support. The sold-out course will begin at West Ham United's Olympic Stadium before winding its way through the Valley, Charlton, the Den, Millwall, obviously, the Emirates Stadium, Arsenal, and finally the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in aid of Prostate Cancer UK, with the main aim of beating a disease that currently kills one man every 45 minutes in the UK. Just go to Just Giving and search Roland Stepney. You can support him there. Coming up, we're talking to Stewie Nethercott.
This is Love Sport.
It's the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport Radio, where former Millwall chairman Jeff Burnage has just left us with a cliffhanger on a story about Teddy Sheringham. Frankly, disgraceful. We'll be hearing that in the next break. He might have to tell it on.
I'll tell you live if you want.
I think we'll have the cliffhanger. I'll assess it first. It might be too rude to broadcast.
It's not rude, but I will tone it down a bit in case there's a problem.
Okay, well, I'm delighted to say that we are joined on the line by Stuart Nethercott, former Millwall and Spurs defender. 220 games for Millwall, Stuart. Did the crowd ever feel like a bit much?
No, it's all right. How are you doing, boys, anyway?
Hello, Stuart.
Nice to...
Yeah. How was Jeff? Was he in good form?
He's in here now. You can ask him yourself.
Oh, I'm feeling...
Oh, yeah. How you doing, mate?
I'm feeling
in good form?
I'm feeling very good, Stuart. Lovely to speak to you. Carry on. You do the talking.
Good to see you, mate.
Does he owe you money as well, right? Stuart?
Did he ever buy you a drink?
Yeah. I lent him one.
A few drinks, to be fair.
Yeah, go on.
No, the Wembley final, I think he bought us a few drinks, so he was all right that night, to be fair. The auto windscreen night is where he was on top form that night.
Yes. Yeah. That was all on Barclaycard, though.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So Johnny was asking you, Stu, are we a difficult bunch to play for? I can't believe it. I know what you're going to say.
I think you've got to have the right character. I think back in our day, anyway, I think you had to be the sort of character to play in front of them, of the fans. But... I seem to do all right. I thought I found myself in a situation where I was a bit of a bit of grit and fight, determination, and I think that goes. I think it's all a bit different now. I think we're 10 years, 20 years down the line now, and the sort of player has changed, and you don't seem to get the sort of players that we had in them sort of days. But
I've stood behind you at a game, Stuart, and you're worse than me. Shouting and ordering at young players. So,
I know. He's, you know, I want the passion, I want the pride, I want everything. And but I think a lot of it has gone out of the game. I think academies has changed that. I don't want to run down academies, but I think a lot of academies have gone down that route of, you know, you've got to be nicey sort of players and things like that. But I hope Neil will keep to that sort of standard where they want that. You know, a bit of blood and gut sort of situation, but you know, hopefully that'll keep going throughout the years. But I think it has changed. I think the sort of character that supporters want now has changed. You know, I don't think you're going to get the Terry Hurlocks and or players like that, you know, again playing the way that we play now.
Well, Stuart, what we were saying off air was that what is unique about Millwall, we don't really know, but what I was saying was that the kind of player that will have his performance affected badly by getting a bit of stick from the crowd isn't going to make it, whereas there are certain types of players who it motivates, you know. And I think we mentioned Teddy. He got a bit of stick when he was young, but it made him play better. And that's what I think is slightly different about Millwall to most clubs. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think in our sort of day, we had the likes of Paul Eiffel that probably got out the major stick out of our sort of boys, you know what I mean? But he was a heck of a player, you know what I mean?
He was
one of them that he could turn it on in a flash. You know, you'd be 0-0 type game, and all of a sudden, like, he will come out and... he'd do something out of the ordinary. You know, we used to take the mickey out of him. He used to dribble the ball, but he was bouncing around his feet. He was bouncing off his shin pad. He scored goals off his shin pad, off his knee and things like that. But that was him, you know. And, you know, and he ended up sort of being in folklore, sort of. He was a hero, you know, in other ways. But he had a lot of stick in the early days, Paul Eiffel, and... you know, he was in that sort of category where you thought, what's he going to do next? He might blaze it over the bar, you know what I mean? But the next one, he might knock in the top corner. But that's what he was.
Yeah.
That is what he was. And you know, I can understand the Teddy situation because, you know, I was with him at Spurs and I think he had that little bit of stick around him with Spurs, you know, because he never had the pace of other players and I think that used to go against him. But... I think if you knew your football, you knew that he was one clever guy to play with, and he progressed to where he went on to after that, really.
I always thought Ifield, nobody knew what he was doing, because I always thought Paul never knew what he was doing anyway.
No,
you know what
right.
I mean?
Also,
so he'd run down the wing.
Yeah.
He was an example of what... Yeah, Stuart, you were talking about academies. He didn't have a background from being with a professional club. He was from Saltdene, just outside Brighton. Yeah. He didn't play for them. He had a couple of trials, but the when we signed him, can you believe it? He played that season 120 games because he played for Saltdene's first team, Saltdene's reserves in the County Cup final, Saltdene's youth team, his college team on a Wednesday, and his mates got him to play for him on a Sunday. So he had a
no wonder he was knackered.
No wonder he couldn't run.
He was a maverick. He didn't always know what he was going to do next. You're absolutely right. But you know, it was a great dressing room. And if you've got a character that might go either way, if there's people around him saying, "Go on, Ifes, go on, get in there and show them," it can carry someone who's a bit iffy to in the right direction, can't it?
Yeah, excuse the pun.
Yeah, but
that was his iffy. Nickname, iffy.
He scored a terrific hat trick at Cambridge.
I know, exactly, and that comes up a lot. You know, you look at that hat trick, and it was I don't know if it was the ultimate hat trick, but he hit a left foot one right in the top corner. He hit a right foot one. I don't know if he got the head up. I don't think he got the head up. But that night. You looked at him and thought, a star is born here, and you know what I mean? He'd grown in stature. He might have been 5'4", 5'5", but he grew in stature. He blossomed that night, and we went on to win the title after that, but he was massive the year after, and he was massive again the year after that, and that's why he progressed and got his move to where he went to.
Sheffield United.
I'll tell you what, Stu, one player that we never gave too much stick to was your old mucker alongside you, Mr. Dyche. There was something a bit scary about him.
No, we were all worried he'd come in the crowd, Stu, and give us a whack, weren't we?
You could hear him growling halfway up the terraces, couldn't you?
I know. Unbelievable fella. You know, he was top draw and loved playing again. You know, we've got a WhatsApp group at the moment and... you know, we all tell our tales and things like that. But, you know, he was a top guy, you know what I mean? And really, he's one of the ones you knew that was going to go on to the management game and be a success here. He was top class fella.
Stu, I was talking to Martin Allen and Joe Forrester on Love Sport Drive earlier, and I mentioned that you were coming on, and I might ask you about Sean Dyche. Yeah. And they were saying that he had this thing where when a young player or a new signing turned up at the training ground for the first time, he would eat a handful of worms just to try and get in their head. Now, my response to that was that that's got to be a load of rubbish. Did he actually do that?
Yeah, he was good. He was good, Sean. You know,
did he eat the worms?
The pictures were that bad. There was plenty of worms to go by, but I think he was in that. You know, there was always a little initiation sort of thing with Sean around that sort of time, but. Them sort of stories did go around. I didn't really actually see him see the worms going. But,
they would have asked him on Armour Celebrity, see what he eats.
It'd be all right, mate.
I was going to say, I thought one worm would have done the trick.
As long as that young player thought he was eating worms, that was enough, right? And you'll know from your experience that a lot of things go on at training grounds and in dressing rooms, which are wind-ups. I mean, you've got to do something for 5 days a week, haven't you?
I know.
I'd like to know about your move from Tottenham to Millwall. How did it come about? Yeah. Tell us that story.
I was obviously on loan to start off with. I was struggling to get in the side at Spurs. I was left in a reserve. And Billy Bonds at the time was the manager. And... he'd come and watch me a couple of reserve games, and I just wanted to get away and play, and obviously stay in London was a bonus as well, but yeah, come over on loan and enjoyed myself. Dislocated my shoulder at Fulham, and I thought, oh no, I've got to go back to Spurs or whatever, but Theo looked after me and offered me a contract to see what I'd done in the previous sort of 2 or 3 months. And it just went on from there. And, signed with Billy at the end of the season, thinking he'd still be there, but he wasn't there. And obviously the new management team come in with Keith and Alan McCleary. And, just went on from there. Just great times and great 6 years, and thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it. And love going back. And looking forward to going back a lot more this season.
Well, wonderful stuff, Stuart. Yeah. Lovely to speak to you. Thanks ever so much for your time. Stuart Nethercott there, former Millwall Spurs defender. And we've had a goal in the Women's World Cup. It's a big goal for the USA. Megan Rapinoe has her second on the night. She's been a bit distracted this week, having a big old war with her country's president. She's now bringing that war to the pitch. She's got a brace.
She's not alone in it, you know.
She's not. She's actually joined the whole of Iran in that particular pursuit. But I have to say, USA looking quite potent opponents for the Lionesses.
If the USA win, Johnny, what's the bonus for England?
They get a team in the Olympics.
Ted, you're a wizard, mate. Are a wizard.
I heard that coming down because I couldn't work it out.
The top three teams in the World Cup qualify the Olympic Games in Tokyo. Qualifying. Is it next year? No, 2 years time.
It's going to be quite a short tournament at the Olympics.
They're the three European teams.
I see.
Right? And now that there's going to be an American team in the semi-final, there'll be three semi-finalists. Yeah. So that is a bonus, although I think England would have preferred to have played France, actually. I think USA are the world champions. I mean, all of a sudden, that's the real deal next Tuesday.
Didn't we beat them in the She Believe Cup or whatever it is recently? I think, which hopefully might help.
Yeah, and the French are no mugs as well. No, so the home crowd, and we can see on the screen now Wendy Renard, the big centre half, who is 6'3", which for those of you in the studio is as tall as me. So she is a good foot and a half taller than the woman marking her normally. Updates for you throughout the game.
I've got to walk straight between her legs, you know that. I should have said that on it.
No, that's all right. Coming up. As long as you say please. Coming up, a chat with Alison Leary, MBE.
This is Love Sport.
It's the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport
Always
Radio.
Chaos.
Always chaos. Always chaos. Always chatty. How we like it. I'm delighted to say that we're also joined on the line by Alison Leary, MBE. Alison, thank you for joining us. First of all, congratulations, because last week we were talking about the award of your MBE. Lovely to discuss it with you in person. First of all, it must have been a great day out.
It was a really nice surprise, actually. I had no idea. And I got home from America and there was a letter waiting for me. So I'm just waiting to get the date to go to Buckingham Palace.
It's right up there with a letter from Hogwarts, I'd have thought. Yeah. You are, of course, clinical lead of Millwall's Matchday Medical Services. The award is for services to spectator safety and, of course, medical services as well. It's a wonderful thing to have been awarded an MBE for. What does your role on Matchday entail?
We look after the crowd, mostly. We're a team of different people, so the myself and a few other healthcare professionals, we work for the club and we work with St John Ambulance and the London Ambulance Service. And essentially, if something, you know, somebody's not well or there's some emergency planning to do, then we work with other agencies to do that. It's a service that came into being after the Hillsborough Stadium disaster. So after that, every English league football club had to have a service like ours.
I've heard, Alison, now that you know what Millwall like. They like to utilise people as best possible. Well, they're now going to use your team as the half-time entertainment. Is that true?
I thought you were going to say we were going to put Alison on the turnstiles before the game or something.
One of the turnstiles, you know. Things like. Now, how do you find working for Millwall, Alison? I mean, we tend to think we talk about us being a little bit unique in some ways. Do you believe in that or that what we say or?
Oh, no, I absolutely love it there. I've been there for 22 years. So, yeah, I absolutely love working at Millwall. I've done some locum work at other grounds. Nothing compares, really. I think it's a lovely, friendly club, and it's a really nice place to work. And we've got a great team there as well. So, you know, all of the changes that we've made over the past sort of 10, 15 years to improve the service has come about because we work with a great team, and also because we've worked with supporters to improve what we do.
It's fantastic that you've got the award as well, Alison, because you people are always sort of in the background but perhaps don't get the recognition that you deserve or something. But I can only really remember one incident, and I'm not sure whether you was there, but there was a poor old Cardiff fan who jumped up, got a bit excited in the upper tier in the away end, and the next thing, he was down in the lower tier. I don't know if you was there on that day. He fell out the upper tier and
right,
fell down
into...
I wasn't you catching him, was it, Alison?
Fortunately, I don't run that fast. Oh, no.
But I mean, when something like that happens, I assume you're the first response, are you, to that sort of thing?
Yeah, so that's the sort of thing that we would respond to. But that's actually quite rare. So we treated last season 107 supporters at Millwall on match days. And most of that is for pre-existing conditions that people have, and they just feel a bit worse. Mm-hmm. Some of it's people getting quite sick quite quickly, like having a stroke or a heart attack, which, you know, watching Millwall can be quite stressful at times. Well,
yeah. Quite common and all, I would have thought.
Alison, it's Jeff Burnish here. Look, I'd like to add my congratulations as well. It was a very nice thing.
Jeff.
Look, when you go to the palace, I hope it's the Queen that's doing your investiture, because you'll be able to remind her that the first professional football game she ever saw was the wartime cup final between Millwall and Chelsea in 1944. I'm sure she remembers it. I can't believe she hasn't got a season ticket.
Only Jeff would tell that the Queen is a Millwall fan.
I have to say, that's a new one on me.
That's the best story Jeff's ever come up with.
And he comes up with a lot, Alison, I'll tell you.
Aston Villa can have old William, can't they? We've got the Queen.
Some of it is allegedly in my imagination, Alison, but there is photographic evidence of that one. She was there with her dad, King George the VI.
Was he a Millwall fan?
No, but...
they're not all Millwall fans, surely.
Well, it is the local club, isn't it? You know, it's the nearest club to Buckingham Palace, I think.
Alison, can you have a word when you go? Just say...
I laughed.
She's standing there with a Millwall scarf on when you walk in.
Yeah.
If ever I get my OBE, Alison, I'm going to ask her. Don't worry about that. So I'm hoping you will.
Just quickly.
I'll invite her to the den.
Wonderful stuff. Just quickly, Alison, we've had a big, big goal in the Women's World Cup from, it has to be said, a big, big woman. We were talking about her a moment ago. Wendy Renard, all 6'3" of her. It's France 1, USA 2. What is the plan for the Palace?
That's a question for you, Alison. What's your plan?
Oh, right. Who the plan for the Palace.
Who are you taking with you?
I guess I've taken my husband.
Not just take him.
I was,
not like it's an afterthought, Alison.
I was hinting there, actually, but...
No, I mean, I think, we're really lucky, actually. We've got this fantastic team of people, and, you know, a lot of them I know listen to your show, actually.
So who was the first person that asked you to do the job at Millwall?
It was the Queen. She's a big fan.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you know what? I can't remember. I was doing... It was, I think, one of the St John Ambulance people, actually, that asked me to do it, and just to help out. And, and then I've ended up staying. So I went for a couple of games and ended up staying for 22 years.
Is the club very supportive of your team and you know, the medical services?
Yeah, they're really supportive of us. You know, I think we're quite lucky in that sense that we don't have any issues with the club at all. And also the supporters. I mean, season before last raised money for us. We're mostly St John Ambulance and a charity called Basics, the British Association of Immediate Care. Mm. So it was lovely that people raised money. We bought an ECG machine, so we can check now if people are having a heart attack in the stadium and send them straight to a cardiac centre, for example, instead of just sending them to the emergency department. So, yeah, it's great, actually, that we get so much support from the club and the supporters.
What after the ceremony, Alison, and you get your MBE, are you going to be sort of one of these people that goes walking down to Tesco's wearing your MBE, showing
off? Of course,
off?
Yes.
You should do. You should do. Certainly down at Millwall, you should be parading around with your MBE.
You might get the front of the queue if you have your badge on or whatever it is, yeah.
Look, there's three old guys here who are very pleased to hear that there's such good medical backup at the Den, because the stats tell me that one of us will be treated by you one of these days.
I'm sure Alison's helped me up out of my chair once or twice somewhere along the line.
Whereabouts are you?
So whereabouts are you based during the game? Whereabouts do you stand or sit during the game?
Because we all want to be near where you are, Alison.
Yeah. Yeah. You're ahead of me, George. That's what I was thinking. I might move my seat.
Wherever you are, we're going to buy a season ticket for it.
No. We're right by Harry's Bar, so
I'll stay in the northeast corner.
So you stay in the bar and you'll be fine. Just a short flight of stairs.
Oh, that's where I remember you helping me out from there, coming back.
We're having a good laugh here, Alison, but many congratulations from all of us.
Thank you.
It's a great honour. I'm thrilled for you and really enjoy your day.
Yes.
Thanks very much.
Wonderful stuff. Alison, thank you so much for your time. Lovely to speak to you. Alison Leary there, MBE, well-deserved MBE as well, for all she does, keeping everyone safe on the match day at Millwall. And I have to say, this quarter-final has burst into life. France 1, USA 2. And suddenly, France, who are, of course, the home side at this World Cup, that crowd is up there behind them. And for the first time in the tournament, gents, the USA look a bit rattled.
It seems since Jeff mentioned the Olympics, all of a sudden France have woken up.
They're not listening to the show.
Hang on, it's a good point that Jeff Burnish made. We'd better get on with it.
That they're actually doing a little bit what England tend to do. It seems to me the American girl team seem to have fallen back and that they're inviting pressure on. But we're used to that down at Millwall.
We're always falling back.
I'm just waiting for the equaliser to go in.
We have, by the way, had some messages into the show from a favourite of the show, it has to be said. Patricia Maslin is getting in touch all the way from Toronto. First off, she says, Matt Smith has no interest in playing for QPR. Why would we want him at the club? Do you agree?
At Millwall. Oh, well, I think it comes back to what Jeff said. I 100% agree with Jeff. We all know Neil to a certain extent, and if a player doesn't want to play for Millwall, or you know, he wouldn't even entertain going for him, I don't think. I think I'm right in saying, Jeff, he wouldn't even look at him, I wouldn't have thought.
I think he must have looked at him and liked what he saw, and I'm sure Neil works very hard in the evening. He'll have seen plenty of the lad and knows what he can do. And you hope that if you get them in the building, which is the common phrase that the managers like to use at the moment, that the atmosphere there will pull people along. But you get the impression, don't you, in Neil's time, that there's one or two players left the club who may not have been that desperately keen to play for the club, and Neil's detected it and thought, not for me.
And of course, earlier in the show, we were all being very coy, saying, well, I wonder what happened with Bielkowski's medical. We can't be sure what was wrong with him. I don't know if Pat was in the room, but she seems to know. She says, tell Jeff that Pat in Toronto said we were lucky not to get the Ipswich keeper. His knee is shot. Lucky escape. And we've ended up with a decent goalkeeper and saved $1 million. So there we go. Case closed.
So Pat's doing the medicals now, then.
It involves just tapping the knee with a wooden mallet and going, no. No, there's
when
not one
goes
there.
Ouch, yeah, that's ouch, it.
No, you're no good. Yeah. No,
are you happy if it's just Fielding who comes in terms of goalkeepers this summer? Are you happy with the situation?
No, he needs another one. He needs another goalkeeper. You've got Ryan Sanford, who is a bright prospect without a doubt, but you need two decent keepers at any level, really, but certainly in Championship and the Premier. Because at the end of the day, Johnny, if something happens to Frank Fielding, we haven't even got a goalkeeper to put on the bench. We probably have somewhere as a youth team or whatever, but not the sort of goalkeeper that you need in the Championship.
No, so, we are completely vacant of goalkeepers as well.
I'm sure there's going to be a second one coming somewhere along the line from something.
I agree with the chaps. I mean, look, we don't operate on the highest budget, but even Millwall go with three professional goalkeepers. I mean, last summer we consciously had three pro goalkeepers.
So when the season starts, we should at least have two goalkeepers.
Absolutely. I'm sure of that. I'm sure there's one coming.
Well, coming up, we will ask our fan in the boardroom who that should be. Don't go anywhere.
This is Love Sport.
It's a Millwall fan show on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and Ted Robinson, Jeff Burnage, and George Lampy of No One Likes Us Talking. Joined on the line by our fan in the boardroom for this week. They keep getting in. We really do need to talk to someone about that. Brian Horn Sr. Good evening, Brian. The reason why we say senior is because your son, of course, played in goal for Millwall when they were in the first division. What's it like bringing up a top-class goalkeeper?
Well, you know, from when he was a young lad, you try and tell him the best things to do at the best time, etc., etc. But then when they go to a professional club, you've got to let the professionals take over the way they're going to treat him. But every now and again, my son used to say, "What do you think, Dad? Should I have done that?" And I'll give an opinion. You know, but it is very hard once they go and they're involved with a professional club, no matter who it is, it's very hard to over elaborate on some of the things that he's probably been told at Millwall in this case.
Brian, I've been waiting for this moment, I could say all my life. You're in the boardroom, mate. You're going to make decisions. Oh, God forbid.
I think there'd be a clear out, Brian, don't you?
I can make a few decisions.
Well, what are you going to do, Brian, about the goalkeeping situation? You happy about Frank Fielding?
I've been weighing up loads of things regarding the Ipswich boy. And I've sort of been thinking about, you know, we've got a midfield player who gets a knock, right? Oh, you're out for 6 weeks because by the time you're treated and everything, gets match fit, plays a few reserve games, etc., etc., it could turn out to about 6 to 8 weeks sometimes. Well, wouldn't it be a case of this Ipswich goalkeeper of just having him on site and coming to some sort of agreement with Ipswich? And I think Jeff might have said something along these lines, that you can see how his knee progresses in the amount of time. In the meantime, you've got this Frank Fielding. And I'm just wondering if times you could, you know, try and remedy the situation to your own benefit.
Yeah, no, it's a good suggestion, Brian. Do you mind doing a really quick favour for me, mate? Can you turn your radio off?
I don't know how to do it.
I tell you what, Brian. Well, I wasn't expecting that response.
I'll put it well away. I don't know. You know, I'm trying to listen and I don't know how to do it. I don't know even how to turn my phone on.
No.
What are you like on the internet, Brian? Because if you can't turn your radio off and on, we are struggling a bit.
Yeah.
What is your best memory of watching young Brian in a Millwall shirt? What's the thing that sticks in your mind?
To be honest, the first thing that comes to mind is when he ran out against Derby County in the first home game, you know, in what is now the Premiership. You know, I was so proud that he'd reached that stage and he was playing for a team, in my case, Millwall, in the First Division, you know, and it was... There was plenty of things. There was obviously the Bournemouth side, which everyone, you know, always talks about, etc., etc. But the thing is, Brian did have a knack of saving penalties. You know, I was unlucky one evening where I was working a late shift and he played against Barnsley in some sort of cup competition and he saved three in the game. Well, you know... That's the sort of thing that sticks out in my mind. There's so many things. When your son plays professional football for a club, and in this case I was pleased that it was Millwall, you know, and believe it or not, I turned down clubs from the Premiership, Arsenal, Tottenham, Ipswich, to play for Millwall. But it gives you a buzz to see your son in any game, Jeff. You know, it just does. But that game against Bournemouth, I was at the Den watching it. You know, that was unbelievable.
On the telly, that's played. Right. It was beamed back,
screen,
wasn't it?
Brian, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And you know, all them sort of things, Jeff. There's probably lots of things that I felt proud of when watching him, et cetera, et cetera. But they're the two of the things that save took us up to what is now the Premiership. You know, and seeing him then come running out against Derby County was unbelievable. Yeah, just unbelievable.
What about your best thing with Millwall? Not concerning Brian, if you like. Take Brian out of the picture, Brian. What's your favourite bit of Millwall? I mean, I've got a few, but I...
Well, you can run like Ted, you can run a few. But, you know, one of the things that I can see in my mind now was you got Barry Bridges and Derek Posse playing up front against Birmingham City.
Posse getting that goal,
And Barry Bridges got the ball in the centre circle, turned round and hit an unbelievable pass to Derek Posse, and he ran in and smashed it in the goal. Do you know, it was magic. It was absolute magic, that sort of thing. I mean, there's going to be lots of things, Ted, probably, if you just remind me of something.
Well, I'll tell you, my one, Brian, the old Wembley. When we played, at Wembley Stadium, that was my ultimate dream.
Yes, of course, Ted. You know, of course. But, you know, we lost that, but, you know, there's things where you're glad that Millwall done that, scored that goal, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the Wembley thing, you'll never forget that sort of thing. A club like ours to all of a sudden appear in now so many finals in so many years is unbelievable.
And thank you to the FA for letting us do it before they shut it down. Because they shut it down.
Well, there you go. Yes,
keeping it open long enough for us to go.
But can I just say what you've been talking about, transfers and all that? I mean, most supporters would probably be a little bit disappointed that we haven't signed a few. And I do take Jeff's point that it probably is a bit difficult now to get players before July the 1st. The money thing is not dwindling down the divisions, etc., etc. So what Neil's doing, I think he's doing probably the best he can in the best situation. And obviously you'd like him to sign, why haven't they got him and everything else. But I'm disappointed as well as everybody, I think. And, you know, I do think that it's a money situation probably that's out of Neil's hands and he can only jump in. But this Matt Smith thing, I mean, why won't it? It's just stupid. If ever Millwall wanted a change format on any a game, whatever Neil decides to play, there's a player that can alter the game for you.
Yeah, but Brian, unfortunately, he doesn't fancy it. Lovely to speak to you. Thanks ever so much for your time. Wonderful
stuff. Oh, that's all right. Anytime.
Top man. Cheers, Brian.
Cheers, Brian.
A wonderful fan in the boardroom. And we've just got time for a quick legend of the week. It's a new feature on the show here where we select our legend every single week. And this week, you guys have chosen your legend. Gents, who have you gone for?
Well, we've asked our Stan to pick it this week, and he's gone for Keith Weller.
Why?
Well, I think I'll let the boys start for a change.
Well, he would have been my choice. I mean, partly, I suppose, I was at that age when football was really beginning to mean something. It was going away from the excitement of going there to being, this is actually my team. You know, I was beginning teenage years and all that sort of thing. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, Benny Fenton...
That's right.
Signed to him and Derek Posse. Posse was probably the more striking looking guy because he was quick with blonde hair. But Keith Weller was the most silkiest player I think I've ever seen in a Millwall shirt. He just oozed quality every time he got the ball.
He was a lovely
And I remember my dad saying to me, I don't know how we got a bloke for next to nothing who can play like that. and he said, Tottenham, what's the matter with Tottenham? Like, you know, but he just lit the game up whenever he played. And I was so pleased in later life to see him achieve things in the game, you know, like with Chelsea and Leicester. Right. But he wasn't with us long enough. That was the only problem. I'd loved him to have been there a little bit longer. But a talent, an absolute genius.
And a good choice.
And a good choice, a great choice for this week's Legend of the Week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.